97.9 FM, WCHL, and the UNC College of Journalism and Mass Communication presents Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examinations of issues of overarching importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions to problems in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the UNC campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the controversy around the owner of the NBA's Los Angeles Clippers. Our guest, Tracy Williams Johnson, assistant women's basketball coach at UNC, and before that, VP for the ABL. And Jamal Brooks, former NFL linebacker and owner of his own investment advisory firm. Tracy, let's start with you. $2.5 million. Can't associate with his team, with the league. They really came down hard, and as I understand it, you supported that decision almost immediately.
Wholeheartedly. I mean, you know, racism is something that we just cannot tolerate in this country. You know, if it was something where it was different, it was just like a dislike for an individual versus the color of their skin, it would be different, but I support it wholeheartedly.
Tell me about the I think it was a tweet that you sent to the NBA?
Oh, yes. As soon as I heard on television, you know, that basically what the fine was going to be and that they were going to ban him, I sent out a tweet to the NBA and basically let them know that I was very pleased with their decision, but very disappointed that they were put in the position to have to make that decision.
And Jamal, you are looking at this through at least about three different prisms. Let's take the first one, somebody who's a native of the Los Angeles area.
Yes, absolutely. Growing up, the Laker tickets were so expensive, so the Clippers fans traditionally have been more diverse.
And how do you think the fans are reacting? What do you hear from your people, you know, friends and family members and what have you, out in L.A. about all this?
What's so interesting about Los Angeles, which makes it much different than a lot of places, because now I live here in the South. In Los Angeles, the classes are situated from being social class instead of race. Because everyone there, I mean, you know, you have Hispanics, you have blacks, you have Asians. They have so many different types of classes there.
Tracy, one thing that I find really interesting about this whole story is this is not something that just kind of came up out of the blue, that this guy had these thoughts and these attitudes, because in lawsuits and in legal proceedings, he was quoted as saying some pretty negative things about tenants in his own buildings. You know, Hispanics, they were lazy, they sat around all day and drank, and the blacks smell bad, and it's not like this was something new with this guy. Why did it catch everybody off guard?
Well, I think it was something that just wasn't in the public media, and, you know, everyone knows through sports and athletics, that's how we're all supposed to come together. So when something really comes out where it hits the media, of course, all the sports world is going to know about it. But for some reason, all the other stuff, it seems like it got swept under the rug because a lot of people just didn't know about it or they were misinformed about it.
And Jamal, is it a case of somebody should have seen this coming? Because, again, this guy had these attitudes, and they weren't out in public like TMZ put them out in public, but they were, you know, in court documents, and it wouldn't have taken a lot to discover, you know, what this guy's thought processes were.
Absolutely. I personally feel that those comments, if that was an athlete making those comments at the same time that he made those comments, they would definitely have been out in public. I applaud the NBA for taking care of the situation as quickly as they did, and they did it to the fullest extent, but I am also disappointed with the fact that they allowed this to go on.
Tracy, will you react to that? Because it does seem that surely the other 29 owners of the NBA were aware that he had made these comments in court and that he had these thoughts and opinions, and yet they didn't do anything about it until it blew up, you know, on TMZ.
Well, you know, I can't really comment on that because I'm not exactly sure, you know, what was made available to them as well as the public. But from my understanding, please correct me if I'm wrong, I understand that there was a racism lawsuit or discrimination lawsuit filed upon him in 2011.
He's had a couple of lawsuits against him based on issues of race. And in at least one of those, Jamal, as we said, he said some pretty negative things. And you would think that NBA owners, being as smart as they are, you don't get to own an NBA franchise and be a dummy, you know, that they would sort of be policing each other and oh my gosh, did you hear, you know, what this guy just said? We need to talk to him and rein him in. I wonder if that ever happened. Jamal?
Oh, I'm sorry. I believe they did, but I look at it as he didn't get fined. He didn't even get fined $1 when those things between him and his wife. His wife also has been in lawsuits regarding her comments that she made about minorities and different races. I don't know the bylaws, and I don't know exactly what they talk about when they have their annual meetings. I would hope that was mentioned, but I am still disappointed that that information, they did not take heed of, you know, stronger and stiffer penalties regarding his comments. Because he has even people that work for him, Elgin Baylor, tried to sue him. So there are a lot of different practices that he has proven over his time period from recently to in the past that shows his views towards minorities.
And that's an aspect of this story we'll get into when Sports Focus returns.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking about the racial comments made by the NBA's Los Angeles Clippers owner and all the trouble that has gotten him into. We're talking to Tracy Williams-Johnson of the UNC women's basketball staff and Jamal Brooks, former NFL linebacker. Jamal, Tracy was talking about, this guy has made some questionable decisions in addition to, some of the questionable thoughts he must be having. you wonder, though, and I'm not trying to take anything at all away from what he did and what he said, but I'm kind of wondering about the girlfriend, too. Why would she put this out there? You know, you see her with that strange face covering so the cameras can't see her. This whole thing is kind of odd to me.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly agree with Ms. Johnson that at the end of the day, you know something's wrong with him because he had a wife and a girlfriend, but you also know something's wrong with her because she's dating a married man. And not just dating him, she's sitting courtside by him. And then his wife is on the other side. So from just that picture alone, there are so many different captions you can put to that picture. So I can't tell you the state of their mind. They have a lot of issues going on.
And Tracy, and this is part of it I don't understand is the reason she's the girlfriend, it's not because he's some great good-looking guy. He's like 80 years old. It's because of the gravy train. And certainly that has just ended. I don't think he's going to keep her around now. So, again, I'm not trying to take away from the main part of the story, but this is another part of it that just really I find kind of fascinating. What's her deal?
Yes, it is. And the thing, though, is, I mean, let's not forget, you know, bottom line is this was an invasion of privacy because you shouldn't record someone like that. But at the same time, you know, he's gotten away with it for so long, so I applaud her for making sure that people know about it. But I hope it's not for the wrong reasons. I hope it's not for a get-rich-quick kind of reason. You know, do things because it's the right thing to do. Don't do it because it's for money.
Jamal, I wanted to also talk about, we mentioned earlier that maybe there were some red flags that the NBA should have seen, and maybe some other groups too. The president of the NAACP of LA just had to resign because that group honored this owner in 2009 and were about to do so again. What happened to due diligence for
I honestly think as time goes on and people really dive into this story, it might be good for a movie, just because there are so many moving parts. He's in Hollywood. He's honored by the NAACP. He was due to be honored by the NAACP in, what, 2 weeks? I think May 15th. And he hasn't done anything that would warrant him getting those awards. Matter of fact, he should, you know, be on the watch list of the NAACP. But there are some from reports of them getting paid off. There's a lot of different things. So I honestly, you're asking the question, I really don't know. It's very interesting. The backstory is just as interesting as the front story.
And Tracy, I know none of the three of us is an attorney, but but you have to think that, you know, the value of an NBA franchise, he's not going to just give that up. He's going to fight, you would think. And this could, you know, this maybe the NBA won the PR war initially by taking strong action. But now the rubber meets the road. And this guy's probably going to contest the ruling and say that you can't make me sell something that I bought legally. There are so, as Jamal alluded to, Tracy, there are so many parts to this story.
There are, but I beg to differ. When it comes to something like what Mr. Sterling is being charged for or accused of, that's very different, you know, and whenever you own a company, you can't just go around doing things like this and think just because I have the money, it's okay. So I'm sure the NBA does have the right to do it, and they have looked into all the legal aspects before they even made this decision.
And Jamal, that might be the case, but I just don't think this guy's going to go quietly into the night.
Oh, no, you are absolutely right. They said that the NBA does have the right, because to be part of the NBA is to go by their guidelines. But they said also, with him being a litigator, they know even though the NBA may win the case, it may take years. This is not something that if he wants to fight it, it's not going to happen in a 2 or 3 week period. It's going to drag on. And they also said with the fact that he's going through a divorce, supposedly with his current wife, they're in the proceeding of splitting property. So it's a lot of things that can't be, okay, do you sell his share and hers? But she didn't make the comment. They said this is going to take a very long time, and they're interested to see exactly how long would the players continue to play for a very bigoted, racist owner.
May I interject?
Sure.
I agree totally with you, Mr. Brooks, but let me ask you this. Would you think that in this situation, the players, I'm sure, would get together and make a decision, hey, we're not going to play? I know he could probably find other players, but if everybody bound together and said, hey, we're not going to play for you, then I think something really has to be done, or either they should form another team and put them on that team. They shouldn't punish them for not playing for him.
Yeah.
Right. Now, in regards to the other NBA players, I think the NBA did everything that they could. So I would not expect players from another team to boycott, because the NBA as a total did everything. But I must admit, I'm still disappointed that the players still played that day, because at the end of the day, I would applaud the NBA and say thank you. I love the NBA. I love playing for you guys. But I have decided to not play for an owner like that.
Sports Focus will be back right after this.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking about the controversial owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, the $2.5 million fine he's going to have to pay. Of course, he'll probably fight it in the courts. No contact with the NBA, banned for life by the commissioner. And Coach Tracy Williams Johnson, I wanted to ask, as reprehensible as the stuff he said was, we do have this thing called the First Amendment that says you can say essentially whatever you want to, as long as, I think the main example is, you don't yell fire in a crowded theater and cause a public panic. So where does the First Amendment come in all of this? And I know he's not just an average citizen. He bought into, he voluntarily became part of the NBA.
But Charlie, I don't think the First Amendment was intended for hatred. This is just pure hatred. You know, there's a difference between being able to voice your opinion on your thoughts of what you think about something, but as a race or just a group of people, that's wrong. As a person or somebody you may have a beef with, that's different. But as a group of individuals, that's just hatred. That's wrong.
Jamal, your thoughts about that?
I don't think his First Amendment rights, even him losing his team, would be taken out of context. Meaning, I just think when you say something, there's consequences to saying it. Now the law says you can say it, but in universal life, if you say certain things, you have a consequence. He's a public figure. That's a public brand. There are things said from different people that have been overheard, from the Chick-fil-A's of the world to the Tommy Hilfigers of the world. Then they lose value. They're either they gain value from some of the comments that they've made, and they lose value from some of the comments that they made. And I think the NBA has every right to say, you are messing up our brand. And having an NBA team is some ways a right, but it's more so a privilege. There's lots of people that will want an NBA team. We voted you to have a team. You didn't just buy it because it was for sale and you saw it in the newspaper. We had to vote for you to be part of the club.
Amen.
Yeah, and Tracy, one of the things I think that people don't understand well about the First Amendment is that it's intended to quash government intrusion or government, taking taking a stance against you or causing you harm. But as Jamal pointed out, in the court of public opinion, you might have the legal right to say something, even if we totally disagree with it. But we then have the opportunity to voice our opposition to that. And you might suffer financially, and that seems to be what's happening here.
Yes.
I agree totally. I mean, you can't just say what you want to say whenever you're in a position like he's in, especially supporting a brand like the NBA.
Jamal, the whole idea, what you alluded to is not everybody can own an NBA team.
Right.
Even if you have the money, you have to be approved to get into that brotherhood. And so if they approve you to come in, they can sure kick you out.
This is absolutely correct.
All right, so where does he stand legally? Again, I know you're not an attorney, but if he challenges, what's he going to challenge on?
Well, he's going to challenge that I became an owner, and now you're kicking me out for something that I did in the privacy of my own home, and it was illegally recorded. Look at it like this. If that recording was recorded and the cops were, let's say the FBI was investigating him, and he was recorded without being pre-warned that you're being recorded, that information would be admissible from court. So when he goes to court and battles the team to say, I should be able to own my team, and they can't use the tape, what else can the NBA use to kick him out? If the tape can't be used in court, what else can they use?
Well,
Tracy,
may I interject?
Go ahead.
Well, let me ask you this. Well, is it possible in the court of law, even though that tape cannot be used, he has basically done this on numerous occasions. So it's not the first offense. If it's the first offense, I'd agree with you. Hey, bag it up, throw it out. But I really believe this one is different because he has so many cases and so many incidents that have occurred over the years.
True, but you can't try him for previous offenses. You have to try him for the offense that created the situation where they're kicking him out.
And we want to thank both of you. We're going to have to leave it right there. That does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guests, Tracy Williams-Johnson and Jamal Brooks. Thanks to engineer Gary Kirk, and thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall of the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance, and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a production of UNC's College of Journalism and Mass Communication.